back to the Steve Greenberg Show. I'm glad you're here for the conversation. You know, during election years, you see a lot of polls out there. Who do you trust? Who do you not trust? Over the years, I've found pollers and pollsters that I think are accurate and ones that are not as good at their job. And I'm interested in some of the polls that you see because different things happen, like red flag laws. Right? Red flag laws are something people are talking about. And my next guest has been looking into it and what people really think about them when they're told the whole story. Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. You can always find out more, see what he's writing about and talking about. Doctor, good to have you back.
It's great to talk to you.
When it comes to polling, I mean, I learned this a long time ago. Obviously, you deal with statistics and numbers. It often depends on how you ask a question as to how the poll looks and reveals what people honestly think. Questions can be the complete difference maker. Nothing different about that when it comes to red flag laws, correct?
Yeah, correct. I think it applies actually to gun control laws generally. You know, you look at surveys, red flag laws, they'll frequently show about a 2-to-1 margin in favor of these laws. The typical question will be something like, ask people if they support laws that, quote, allow guns to be temporarily confiscated by a judge when people are considered by a judge to be a danger to themselves or others. That seems perfectly reasonable. But I think respondents kind of assume that there's a normal legal process being followed, that there's going to be witnesses that are cross-examined, that you might have mental health care experts involved in the process of determining whether the person's a danger to themselves in terms of suicide or something. In fact, none of those things are true. We hired McLaughlin and Associates to survey 1,000 general election voters. And, you know, again, we find that by about a 2-to-1 margin, people support red flag laws when it's phrased that way, the way we took questions from other surveys. But then you go and you ask them, well, do you support it if it doesn't have a hearing before the guns are taken away, or there are no mental health care experts involved in the process? And when that's there, support changes to opposition. You have by a 47% to 29% margin, people oppose those laws then. And the support plummets the most for those who most strongly supported it, falling from like 34% to 14%.
You know, and again, it brings me back to, you know, if you ask a question a certain way, you lead people to an answer. And I wonder, John, when they ask about guns or red flag laws or whatever it may be, if the pollsters have, well, frankly, an agenda sometimes.
Yeah, well, they could be. You know, I'm not going to, it's kind of difficult to get into people's minds about why they're doing what they're doing. But, you know, to me, the important thing is what's the implication for it. You know, I'll give you another example. We constantly hear that there's 90%+ support for these so-called universal background checks on the private transfers of guns. And, you know, Bloomberg has put these types of initiatives on the ballot in a couple states. In 2016, he put it on the ballot in Maine and Nevada. In Maine, he outspent the other side by 20-to-1,
wow,
and they lost by 4 percentage points. In Nevada, they outspent their opponents by 3-to-1, spending $35 per vote that they got. And there they just barely eked out a win by less than 1 percentage point. And even then, the initiative never went into effect because they inaccurately sold it to voters as not costing the taxpayers any money. And, you know, that those percentages are far, far away from 90%+. And it just, you know, when people began to get into the details of the, you know, what these laws actually do and who's going to be banned from being able to go and help others. So, like, if you have a female friend whose ex is threatening her on a Saturday night and she's a, and you know she's well trained, that she's perfectly capable of using the gun,
right.
And you know she has no criminal record or anything, you would be creating a felony by loaning her your gun because it hasn't gone through a background check. And when people see things like that, you know, and many other problems in a, those types of laws, they don't like them as much, despite, you know, extremely favorable news coverage and despite the campaigns. I mean, if you outspend the other side by 20 to 1, and you really believe that 90-plus percent already support the law, the proposal, you would think it would be a cakewalk in terms of getting it. You wouldn't imagine that it would actually get defeated.
Right.
You know, and it's not just the questions, too. It's also people, because of the news media, are really misinformed about a lot of these issues. We did an earlier survey this year asking people basically two questions. One was, what percent of violent crime do they think involves guns? And then asking them whether they support more stricter gun control or not. And what you find is that people are wildly inaccurate in terms of the percent of crime they think that involves guns. 57% of Democrats.
That's what they're told all the time. That's the narrative.
Yeah, I know.
All the time. And so, therefore,
right.
It's not just the polling numbers that are messed up. It's the way that, you know, everything else. It's just the way that it's just they groom people to believe certain things. John, I got to leave a great explanation. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. crimeresearch.org to find out more about these stories and so much more. John, as always, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Really appreciate it. A quick break now. We'll be back. It's the Steve Ruler Show.